Good evening, everyone, and blessed Ash Wednesday. It's good to see each of you here in the sanctuary, and I thank you for your presence tonight. And we send love to those who are joining us online, wherever you might be. We wish to receive your well wishes back here and feel that. Today is Ash Wednesday. We had a noon service, and we will also tonight be imposing the ashes at the end of the service, and I'll give instructions at that time. But I did want to encourage everyone, if you haven't yet seen the book I'm suggesting for a Lenten reader, it's called Lent in Art by Sister Wendy Beckett. Lent in Art. It's a picture a day with a little commentary, very brief, and it's exquisite. And I commend it to you and hope you enjoy it for the Lenten journey. Let's take a moment now in the silence. There's so much going on in our lives and in our world. And dedicate this service to the victory of consciously chosen love, of the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Wish now for the highest good to come from our time together. God of our journeys, your ways with us are so patient and merciful. You draw light from darkness, honey from rocks, water from desert, manna from night dew, fire from ash, peace from violence, and life from tomb. Tonight, draw out in each of us this Lenten journey the sweetness of your love and the light of your wisdom, and the peace of your gentleness. May the weary ashes of each of our lives be lit again by the fire of your presence. We pray this in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. and your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. These practices are universally, by many different religions, viewed as practices that help each of us open, connect, and feel that emotional center and its connection to higher dimension, to God, to love, to Jesus, to Mother Mary, to the Eucharist, to that which calls to us to become more than what we are, that feeds our soul and reminds us and quickens us in a way that is inexplicable to people that don't have that magnetic draw. You can't explain why you would pick up a practice like fasting, almsgiving, or prayer to anyone, really. And that's the first lesson tonight as we begin our Lenten journey for all of us. Ash Wednesday, all around the world today, Christians in both the Eastern churches and the Western churches, the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, the Coptic Church, the Egyptian Church, and all the denominations and traditions in the West stemming off of Roman Catholicism, all of us today celebrated the beginning of the Lenten journey on Ash Wednesday toward Holy Week. The reason why the East sometimes celebrates Christmas 9 days after we do is because Christmas always moves and rotates on December 25th. It can be a different week, and then, of course, January 6th for the Eastern traditions. But the Holy Week events of Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday are built around the Jewish Passover feast, which always happens on the Sabbath day for them, which is the Passover day, Saturday, on the first full Sabbath day after the first full moon of the month of April. And so everyone calibrates to that lunar calendar, which is why all around the world today people have begun their Lenten journey. Lent is an ancient tradition in Christianity, and many different religions have religious festivals preparing to celebrate the really important high holy days, like Passover. The Jewish people prepared to celebrate Passover, and now in the Christian tradition, we prepare to celebrate Holy Week, particularly the resurrection. And so we're given instructions, very clear instructions, throughout the scriptures, but in tonight's reading, we see clear guidance, even though Jesus wasn't specifically thinking about Lent. The word didn't even exist during biblical times. But Jesus gives us clear instructions that we can apply for our spiritual journeys. And the most important thing I take from that teaching, at least that which has spoken to my heart this year, is the inner secret dimension of our spiritual practices. And the challenge with all spiritual practices is that the servant, which is our practice, becomes the master. Because we can so easily hold on to the practice, and it's virtually impossible for us to hold on to the invisible, unknowable mystery that we name God. And so, as has been the case throughout all of human history and all of religious traditions, we must guard against making an idol out of every single practice. and missing the moon for the finger. Because the finger that points to the moon is important, but it is not the moon. In the same way that the practice that forms our soul and feeds our soul is not the relationship. It is a tool, a means, a practice that supports the relationship of our knowing, feeling, doing with God, deepening our life with God. The practice is in service to the relationship, and the relationship is not in service to the practice. Apart from our relationship with God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, practices are empty, and in a certain sense are just kind of a performative act that might support a higher quality life and guide you and help you and support you through the difficulties of life. And that's fine. But when there's a relationship that the practice is feeding, fueling, forming, there gives the reason for the practice in the first place. The practice nourishes the relationship. Recently, I've been rebuked in my spirit by the witness of the tradition. I had the privilege of going on a retreat back to my seminary. I was sitting in the library, which is more like a temple to wisdom. They've redone the library, and there's a 5-story atrium full of light, gorgeous. And I just was silently rebuked in my spirit. You, Peter, for 25, 30 years, you've been pontificating as if you know something. And these books and these teachers and these traditions quicken me to a place of humbleness that I really appreciated. In your seeking of knowledge and the pursuit of truth, in your practice, do not disconnect from the relationship that all these things serve. And I got to thinking, in about 30 years of doing some form of ministry, have I ever told anyone, or you might say, introduced anyone actively with intention to Jesus Christ? In 30 years of ministry, to my knowledge, I don't believe I have ever actively, intentionally said, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you felt or encountered that presence? Have you read or discovered what Jesus is, what the gospel is? And the very reason the church of Christianity exists at all is because of Jesus. And yet for 30 years of ministry, I've never actively, as far as I know, introduced someone to Jesus. And I stood in profound, jaw-dropping humility that the very fount, the moon, so to speak, was replaced by multiple fingers, hands. This practice, this idea, this tradition, this doctrine, this and this and this and this and this, everything else but Jesus. Whoa. That was really, really humbling for me. As a minister who was ordained into a tradition, this is how they ordain us in the Presbyterian Church. Lying or kneeling, we ordain you, the body of this church, elders from all around the denomination, sometimes coming from all around the country, elders and other ministers, laying hands on ministers to be, saying, we ordain you as a minister of word and sacrament of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ordain you as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, I've spent much of my adult ministry teaching, preaching, writing about other practices that are in support of that relationship, but never really have I put my finger on Jesus. And that's another message as to why. I have my reasons. I've had my journey. But the point for us this evening, I think, as we begin our Lenten journeys, as we stand in earshot of this teaching by Jesus as he begins the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and then in 6, giving people instruction on how to be spiritual beings, is that the fount of our relationship with God is inner. And no external practice, no matter how important it might be in your formation and your spiritual well-being, no external practice can replace that inner life with God. And the problem is, what he was saying ultimately is, you people You have replaced the external sheen of your religious practices as if that is the relationship, when it's just the surface. The depth is where it is all happening. And when the practice doesn't support the depth, or when the depth is disconnected from the surface, why even bother? So this Lent, our theme is an embodied Lent, getting the body involved into the spiritual journey. And for many of us, that might include fasting from something in particular. And it could be something that, you know, the body really notices that you're fasting from. And you can think about those types of things that you use to assuage the body's storms, tempests, tyrants, rants, all that stuff that's in there, the things we assuage our bodies with, that we go to after a stressful day, after a long day, to relax, whether it's food or drink or other types of substances. We know how much the body is a part of our awareness of life. But can we integrate that spiritual practice of fasting consciously so that we're doing it not just to give something up or be more conscious in my moving center, but to deepen our relationship with God and to participate with the ministry and mission that Jesus' energy is seeking to embody through you, continuing the incarnation through you, continuing the incarnation through the Eucharist. Really, what makes Christianity so powerful is that for whatever reason, Jesus' energy wanted to continue to be available to the world through us and through the Eucharist by the power of the Holy Spirit. That for whatever reason, Jesus didn't seal the deal. He didn't finish the project while he was here. But for whatever reason, Jesus wants to remain available through you, through the Eucharist, available so that others can experience something of that higher dimension or that deeper dimension. And so however you might experience or enter into the season of Lent this year, the embodied Lent is the focus, fasting from something that might activate the body, teach you something about your own body and its dependence on things, then working with that, not identifying with what comes up. And the other side of the coin of fasting, many of us give something up, but the other side of fasting is positive. Many of us take something on. So fasting has the give up side, but also the take on side. And that's the aspect of almsgiving, or taking on more prayer time, more scripture reading, more walks in nature, more whatever it might be, listening to music, things that are influences that feed your soul in such a way that you feel that availability to the divine, to the higher dimension, to conscious influences. And you know, perhaps in your life, what brings that sense of availability, that consent on the go to your life. There are some things that are very effective, and there are other things that aren't so. So may God bless each of our Lenten journeys, and may it be an embodied Lent that the practices would serve the relationship, and that the relationship would serve our transformation, and that the transformation would serve God's will and glory for this planet. Amen. You've heard what I've had to say. Take a moment in the silence and allow that word to linger in your heart and being and take root.
Now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes of centering prayer.
Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to uncap your host and recap. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ for us all. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. We dedicate these ashes in our lives that we would be marked with a reminder of the gift of our life, that we come from the earth and we return to the earth. And I invite you to come forward. I will be the only one serving tonight. You can come down either side. I'll be serving from the middle, and you can rotate left to right, who's coming forward. There is olive oil being mixed with the ashes so that it applies easier, just so you know. And I invite you just to come down when you're ready, and you might consider an embodied gesture such as this or whatever you'd like to do to embody the experience for yourself. Our service is ended. Go in peace. May the God of grace bless each of us on our Lenten journeys. Amen.